Okay, hello. Thanks for being here. Namo myoho renge kyo. We're starting book five of my collection of Gosho. Most of these will probably be fairly short. It's a much smaller book than the last volume, but there's lots in here. And so we will start with Reply to Matsuno. It's a brief Gosho, but it points to something that just got through talking about with one of our members, if you will. I don't know. I need to come up with another name for our sangha. Is it YouTube terminology has inculcated into it a certain kind of a cultural reality, I suppose. But even before YouTube, the idea of membership has always unsettled me, as though there's something larger or more important or more significant than us. We are a collection of individuals. That's what gives us merit, power, strength, so on and so forth. I'm not one of those who believes that there is no I in team. I think that's one of the biggest ruses perpetrated on our minds in the 20th century. It's a load of malarkey, if you will. A team is nothing without great individuals, is what I would say. If you strip away the identity of each individual, then you basically strip them of their own dignity. We win as a team because we each put in our own greatest efforts. If a coach can't be satisfied with that, then he's spouting nonsense. All right, I got off track. This is a very short Gosho, but what Nichiren points to, again, is something oddly contemporaneous with a conversation I just had with someone who was saying that, you know, oftentimes I talk about Buddhahood being a state that only we humans can realize. And I say that because I'm countering the rhetoric that states or seems to state that Buddhahood or awakening can only happen in a next life or after this life. And the first thing you have to realize is that after this life is this life, and after this life is this life, and after this life is this life, because we live moment to moment from one discrete moment to the instantiation of the next. Follow? Life is a series of points, locations in time. And so each point is a birth and a death, a birth and a death, and a birth and a death. We conflate that with a lifetime, which has a birth and a death, but that's a samsaric statement. And it's a statement made out of attachment for being, 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 being. We're constantly wanting to make everything permanent. We're obsessed with it. That's samsara. And so we see a lifetime as one thing, but it is in fact innumerable points in time. And the visual or the thought experiment I usually offer for that is, who are you now that you were not 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago? You are not that person at all. At an atomic level, you are no longer that person. Because as you know, we regenerate cells in our bodies constantly, right? So we are a temporary instantiation moment to moment. And so when Buddhism talks about in your next life, they simply mean in your future of this lifetime. And Buddha is something you can realize only here, right now, myoho renge kyo. It isn't some bank account that you fill up for future existences. Although that's a bad analogy too, because the more you inculcate these individual atoms into myoho renge kyo, the more you alter each moment and its transition to the next. So the next moment can have more myoho rengekyo inculcated into those cells than the previous moment, because you continue to chant, recite, learn, study, blah, blah, blah. So that is a sort of a bank, but it's a bank that's lost and recreated in each moment, right? There's a transference from moment to moment. Because that's samsara. That's the only reason we have a next moment, is because of our obsession and attachment. So that's kind of a conundrum, isn't it? It's the thing that we're trying to get rid of mentally, but physically we need it to be here. And we need it to realize what Buddhahood is while we're here. Because while we're not here, well, what is there to realize? You're not here. I mean, Buddhism, as we just read, Nichiren say, Buddhism is reason. So if I say that and I talk about humans' realization, I'm not denying that the teaching also says that sentient as well as insentient beings attain enlightenment. But you have to understand how that statement is constructed. Because as we know from our study of Buddhism, this idea of self is wrought with misperception. We think of ourselves as an individual unit, unique and separated from everything else, from a blade of grass, a grain of sand, to a tree, to a mountain, to another human being. As though we ourselves are distinct from that. But as Buddhists, more and more as we study, we come to understand that the mountain, the blade of grass, the tree, the other individual, are all constructs of self. There is no separation. There is no separation. If you've studied any kind of chemistry where you put things into solution, right? And you take a drop of food coloring and you put it in a glass of water and you mix it up. There's no longer any distinction between the color and the water. They're the same thing. We can think of it as a solution of humanity. The trees, planets, solar system, universe are a solution of human existence. That's our samsaric reality. So if I work to enlighten myself, I am also working by virtue of being in the same place as everything else, enlightening my environment. So yeah, blades of grass are enlightened in proportion to my enlightenment, or in equating to my enlightenment. Insentient things are sentient in that I am the sentience for everything. So, more to the point of my story, when we read sutras, especially other sutras prior to the Lotus, but certainly within the Lotus Sutras, we find language about the Dragon King's daughter, or these fanciful personages that are tools to help us understand that in certain mental constructs in our mind, we are the Dragon King's daughter. We are that impetus, that kind of thinking, that kind of personage. And we have to work out our samsaric identities to enlighten them. So yeah, the Dragon King's daughter becomes a Buddha. But that's a state of mind altered to the perception of Buddhahood. It's not a dragon sibling or daughter. Or if you believe that mysticism, or you're making it mystic, then you're missing the point. All the stories of Buddhism are about describing mental states, ways of thinking, the way we construct our reality. They are in themselves not reality. They are tools of mental construct for perception of reality. That's why it's called expedient means. It's a way of using samsaric logic to bring you to realization of your Buddhahood, to understand how the monkeys are working in your mind, to understand how your mind is attached with your Buddha realism, your real true self. Words, they get in the way, right? So don't make the mistake of thinking that Buddhahood is available in any of these other realities, because those realities are constructs of the mind to analyze your own behavior as a samsaric being. Buddhahood occurs in our human mind. And thusly, our perception as humans affects and effects the world around us and everything in it. So can the grasshopper achieve Buddhahood? Certainly not on its own. Only because it is part of what you are, and as you attain enlightenment, so does the grasshopper, because it is you. This is very cyclical, and once you really start to grasp that, your Buddhist compassion will grow in ways you hadn't anticipated. Because when you really, really, really get it, that the environment you're in is yours, and that with your life state goes the environment, this is when the discussions Nichiren has with his disciples and his students, that the country's condition is a result of their individual mistaken ideas about Buddhahood and about reality, about samsara, then this really starts to make sense. I can show you examples in team sports, since I brought up sports. Whereas if the life condition of everyone on the team is commensurate toward being their best, then the team will shine out there in the sport. That doesn't guarantee a win, but your chances of a win are much greater because everyone is on the same page, as it were, the same ichinen, the same will, right? But if it just takes one model and actor in your team to bring the whole team down, no matter how much you cheer in your heart, you're drugged down and you will, all of you, perform commensurately. With some exceptions, but you understand what I'm saying. You have to really get that. So, this is pertinent, I promise you. Reply to Matsuno. I have received 1,000 coins, one sho of oil, one robe, and 10 writing brushes. I cannot adequately express my appreciation for the sincerity that you have always shown me. So I will leave it to the Lotus Sutra and to Shakyamuni Buddha. So he's very appreciative for the gift. He's always appreciative, right? Because for two reasons. It helps Nichiren sustain his life as a human. But more to the point, it sustains his efforts as votary of the Lotus Sutra. That's far more important. So this is why he says, I can't express my gratitude because my gratitude is so much bigger than my human self. It is what I do that you're supporting. And so I will leave the merit, not from me. If I give you a pat on the back, that's a pat on the back. Oh, thanks. But if I give you a pat on the back as votary of the Lotus Sutra, then what you're supporting is my actions as a votary of the Lotus Sutra of Myoho Rengekyo, then your reward will come from that, not me, man, Nichiren. And maybe I need to hammer on that more and more in these videos, because this is a critical point of being a Buddhist student. As I've been saying for some time, Nichiren goes on, in your situation as a lay believer, as we all are, you should just single-mindedly chant Namo Myoho Rengekyo morning and evening, day and night, and observe what happens at the last moments of your life. So that's an interesting statement. To live well, to hearken back to the first teachings of Shakyamuni, to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. In other words, to live your life with a behavior that's conducive to your enlightenment, to liberating yourself from suffering, the Four Noble Truths. This is the way you do it. And Nichiren is saying that in order to do that effectively, chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, single-mindedly. He means single-mindedly to invoke your Buddha nature. That should always be your attitude, your intent. And then once your lifetime is coming to an end as a samsaric being, take account of the world around you. Look around. At that time, he says, hasten to the summit of perfect enlightenment and look around you in all directions. In other words, chant in your last moments of life. Chant to invoke your Buddha nature as you look around you in your last perceptions of samsara. The entire realm of phenomena, right? Suns, stars, galaxies, universe, plants, animals, earth, relatives, food, room, bed, self. The entire realm of phenomena will have changed into the land of tranquil light. There it is, something I've repeated many, many times. The land of tranquil light isn't somewhere else. It's in your mental perception. Buddhism is about the mind. With the ground made of lapis lazuli, the eight paths, the Noble Eightfold, right? Marked off by golden ropes, the four kinds of flowers raining down from the heavens, music resounding in the air, and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas all being caressed by breezes of eternity, happiness, true self, and purity. We too will surely be among their number. The Lotus Sutra is indeed such a splendid sutra. I'm pressed for time, so I will not go into detail with my deep respect, Nichiren. So, even though he just wants to send a missive to this follower of thanks for what he sent him, he accompanies that letter of thanks with a teaching of the Lotus Sutra. His doctrine, his scholarship, if you will, of the practice of Myoho Renge Kyo. But you see why I said everything earlier? It's important to keep your head about you while all others are losing theirs, right? These are Western sayings. These are obvious truths. Buddhism is a practice of focus on obvious truths. Actual proof. Actual experience of the nature of the process of life. There's nothing magical here. There's no other magical land. The land of tranquil light is an experience of the land that you are in, that is yours. When your perception clears, there are not obstacles. There are no rocks to trip over. There are not evil forces somewhere hidden, evils, devils, things trying to impinge upon you, some sort of suffering, health problems, pills, appointments, all that stuff that we carry in our minds, in our grove of sal trees full of monkeys. That's all they are. They're mental constructs that we don't need in order to experience life at its full, clearly. And certainly, as you lay dying, be conscious that all of this is just a play in your mind that has no power to cause you to suffer, because all of it, negative, positive, in between, becomes a golden offering of experience that you're no longer attached to. That was interesting. Right? The thing that makes you suffer is your constant fretting and grasping and craving about things that are just, they're just things. They're not you. They're not your life. They're different colors of the rainbow that is your life. You detach from those influences and see them as the wonderful little playground that they are. That's samsara. That's not you. That's not your Buddhahood. It's your attachment to those things that causes you to frown, suffer, fear, all these emotions. So releasing all of that is a different sort of joy. It's not a ha-ha-ha joy. It's a wonder joy. It's a releasing joy. It's something you don't feel. It's something you experience. That's what Buddhahood looks like. That's what we're all looking to achieve every time we chant Myoho Renge Kyo. Every time we say Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, that's what we're giving life to. That's what we're opening the window to. Fresh air. Unencumbered. So keep chanting. The answer is simply there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Don't forget to download the podcast, The Buddhahood Podcast. Oh, I'm so proud I'm saying that easier now. Thanks for all your support. You guys are awesome. Keep adding comments because they help me explore these aspects of Buddhism, which ultimately helps all of us. Thanks for our dialogue, William, Georgiana, John. We haven't talked in a little while, but we have these incredible emails we share. Yeah, it doesn't have to be comments in these videos. You can be direct emails to me at tlksylvain@gmail.com or through the website at threefoldlotus.com. You guys, you make my practice huge. And so I want to do the same for you. I want to be a mirror, a helpful part of the Sangha that helps you see the depth and the amazement of this practice. All right, enough blah, blah, blah. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'll see you in the next one. Thank you. Click.